Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/cleanears. Over 18,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, boo, Android, yay, Kindle, even better, or MP3 player. Okay, let's start the show.
It's Clean Ears. Oh, I did it wrong. This is Simone.
And this is Sarita.
And this is still Clean Ears.
Yes, we're here.
So, wonderful things have been going on.
Yes, as you can hear from the intro. Not the entree. It's the intro, not the entree.
Yes. So, yeah, wonderful things are happening. So, we're excited about that. And something else, like, really dope that has also happened is we went to this wonderful little function called Summer Bash 17.
What?
I didn't realize it was called Summer Bash 17 until I got there.
Yeah.
Like, when I walked in, somebody was like, welcome to Summer Bash 17. And I was like, oh, that's where we at. Okay. And we got to see Mowgli the Iceberg, Belief, and No Big Deal perform. So that was super wonderful. Mm-hmm. And we got free tacos. Let's not forget about
some
the free
of
tacos.
Us. Got free tacos.
And these were like real tacos, guys. These were somebody's mamas out there. They didn't speak any English. It was all Spanish. And they were making these tacos and putting ingredients on it however they felt because we couldn't communicate. So we got some authentic stuff. I remember one of our friends was out there with us. And I think he tried to ask for something on his taco. And they were like, yeah. And like, put something else on there. So yeah, it was like super authentic and it was nice. But back to the show though.
Right.
Because it was wonderful. And even though everybody was definitely still 12, because that hasn't changed.
Not at all. Actually, they were like 5. The median age was toddler.
Yeah. It was kind of cool. Like, people legit had their families in there. Like, there were children present. But we got to, well, first, I finally got to meet No Big Deal because we were at a deficit.
Welcome.
I know.
To the Dylan Club.
I know. I walked up on him and I was like, listen, my friends have a picture with you and I don't. So please oblige me. We need a selfie.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, at the end of the night.
Here
guys,
we go.
Yes. We got to meet Belief. Now, if you know anything about the show and if you've been following us at all, what you know is that we are huge Belief fans. And I think we were raving about him on like episode 2. So it's not a game.
Yeah, no, for real.
Like, we true to this. And so it was super nice to just meet him, because one thing I love is being able to like tell an artist like, hey, I really love this thing that you do. I know that they love to hear it, but I love to be able to say that. So it was really cool. We just walked up on him, got a chance to have a nice little conversation. And what was kind of dope was that he'd heard of us.
Which means like, hey, Belief, I think you might be listening. So what's up, homie?
Hi. That sounded super cool. I'm going to delete that. I'm not. Because apparently.
At least I sound cool this time, because I was not cool at the actual meeting of Belief.
Well, I'm super corny in real life. So, well, cat's out the bag. And it was super nice. We had a blast. And thank you to just our earbuds on the internet who just be working and retweeting and liking things and somehow allowing our podcast to just make it all the way over to California. So that's wonderful.
Yes.
And we were just super excited to hear that he'd heard of our show and given one of our cards and stuff, and again just meet him and take a picture and stuff, which is on the gram. We already told you to follow. If you're not following, guys, you gotta get your obedience game
get that obedience game up.
What are you doing?
Because we are doing big things, and we'd like to right now actually get into our social media shout outs. While we're here talking about the gram, let me tell you about at Walk Vision Films, who was just as excited as we are about Trillium 2.
Yes.
Super geeked. We are actually going to talk about it a little bit later on in the episode.
Yes. I always said Trill-I-Am. Is it Trillium? Trill-I-Am?
Girl, it might be Trill-I-Am or Trillium. I was just like...
See, guys, this is what happens when you make up words.
People just be making their own pronunciation.
We told you about this before. You got to give us like the phonetics with the symbols.
Thank you. Because I always look at it and I go, yeah, it's probably Trill-I-Am, but I like Trillium too.
You know what?
I'm gonna say how I want to.
You know what?
Aha can tell me different.
It is what it is.
Well, there it is.
It's a made up word. And also for Twitter, we want to shout out to Sincerely Koba for just reaching out and letting us know that she subscribes to our podcast. So thank you. We so value people who not only listen, but make that commitment to subscribe to our podcast and get that little download every Tuesday most of the time.
And then, yes, don't forget about Facebook.
Hey.
For the Clean Ears Facebook page. And we want to thank Chloe Coffee. She shared a post from the collective. So that means you're not only reading, but loving what's going on there. So we really appreciate you and we love you. And guys, we just want to continue doing these social media shout outs. So keep interacting with us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We'd love to do a YouTube one, but ain't nobody commenting. So we can't say nothing yet.
I like how I just acted like y'all.
She did. She leaned in and everything.
I leaned in like y'all can see me. I made a face.
She gave y'all full mama stare.
I did.
Go ahead. Yo, first comment on any of our YouTube videos and we will shout you out.
Ooh, look, mama comment.
No, nah, bruh. And there's more, y'all, with this music. There's so many cool things happening. Yes. So let's dive right in. Like we talked about Aha Gazelle. Mm-hmm. He said he's going to tour the top 5 streaming cities from his Spotify. And one of those is Atlanta. Hey. For the other 4, you definitely want to check his IG at Aha Gazelle or his website, www.ahagazelle.com, because those tickets are already starting to go on sale. I already know LA is happening and John Gibbs is going to be there.
You know what?
Dallas is definitely happening.
I'm so sick of not being in LA. I'm so freaking sick of this coast.
And then Atlanta's happening. I don't know who's going to be there, though. So here's praying that someone super duper lit.
John, you come to Atlanta. Stop playing these
it's
games.
It's going to be in Atlanta. But Atlanta's happening July 21st. We cannot wait. And whoever he is on the ticket with, we're hoping that is good.
Come through, John. Also, that's what I'm saying. So, a little birdie also told me that one of our faves, Kristen Gray, teased that he might have some new music coming out on the medias. Now, y'all, as somebody who still has School of Roses on repeat,
yes,
as if it's new, and it came out like years ago,
mm-hmm,
this is a big deal. And he said it might be called, what, you said new genre?
Yes, that's the hashtag he's using, new genre. And what I'm believing that this time he's going to give us a full rap album.
Listen.
Especially because on these albums that he's been on with his brother, he's talked a lot about how he's better than Drake.
You know, I'm like ready and not ready at the same time. Like my heart is just like, I can't. So guys, another really awesome thing that is coming back for the summer.
Yay!
P4CM's Rhetoric.
Yes!
Sarita, what is Rhetoric?
Rhetoric is a very cool, I don't even want to just say poetry, because it's a bunch of creative people coming together with P4CM, which is a ministry in LA, and they put on this huge performance that has just become pretty much worldwide known as a way for young people to come together. This time, they're going to have Ezekiel as well as Kev on stage,
yes,
and a bunch of other people coming, so you definitely want to check it out if you're in the if you're in the LA area, because we can't be part of it.
I'm booking my flight right now. I'm moving.
You can go to p4cm.com/rhetoric. And for those of you who aren't in LA, they have streaming parties that happen sometimes. So you definitely want to just go to the site and see how you can be part of the experience, because you don't want to miss it. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Darn you, Atlanta. Get some stuff.
Well, you know what? Some stuff that might be happening is the PIA tour.
Oh, yes. This is true.
Yes. They have come to Atlanta every year since they started. And this year, for every stop, they are holding auditions for poets, musicians, and worship leaders to be part of their tour dates. If you or somebody that you know wants to be part of that PIA life, tell them to go to the PIAtour.com soon. I don't remember what the deadline is, but...
Ooh.
There is one.
I looked at the site, but I don't know what it is either.
I remember. So get in there now. Now. And submit something. Do whatever the application is. Whatevs. But we'd love, since we will probably be at the Atlanta show, we would love to see what you're doing. And let them know that Clean Air sent you.
Yes.
This episode of Clean Ears features music by Lecrae featuring Tori Kelly, Aha Gazelle, and Earth, Wind & Fire. Please visit www.cleanearshow.com for the full versions of these songs and a few more that we're listening to. We hope you enjoy what's in our headphones. And to lead you guys into the next part. Yes, girl, to the next part of the podcast. And we're talking about leadership. Something that we should kind of be experts in, but we hope that we have some good information. And we're going to pray right now because the ultimate leader, God, needs to help us with all of these things. So if you're driving, please stay
alive.
Yeah. Everyone else, you can go ahead and shut your eyes real quick. Lord, we thank you so much for giving us the ability to be an inspiration to others and lead them. And we pray right now that you give us the right examples, that you continue to show us the way to be great leaders in this world, whether it be at work, home, or anywhere else. We pray this in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
So, guys, as we know, culture is obsessed with the idea of being a boss.
Mm-hmm.
Like my Rick Ross voice?
Rick Ross boss. No, I can't.
Rose.
I ain't I'm got sorry. No deep in me.
This is Clean Ears. On the media, is like we refer to the 9-to-5 as like the day job. And it's almost a rarity to meet somebody who's legit just working without an aspiration of like doing something or building something additional for themselves.
Including us.
Right. We ain't about that life.
Nah.
And so even the data, because guys, I like totally did my Googles. So even the data over the past few years has shown that more and more people are starting their own businesses and actually creating jobs for other people. That's really dope. But, you know, because anybody can just start a business and our talents and gifts we know are ingrained in us. And as long as we cultivate those, we don't necessarily have to have degrees in certain areas. Mm-hmm. Then we have more people becoming bosses. And so we want to ensure that we're not only in charge, but that we're effective as leaders.
Mm-hmm. And I know that in the world, a lot of times people just see being a boss as just a position. And they don't tie that to any attributes of character. But we know that it's different in the word, not the world.
Yes. And a lot of times, you know, it's kind of implied, especially when we hear conversations about being a boss, it's almost like a who gonna check me boo mentality associated okay. with it. Like, you know, I'm at the top, I'm running things, ain't nobody gonna be just telling me what I'm gonna do and not do.
And then there's also people who keep the secrets of being a boss or the secrets of being successful to themselves. Yeah. They kind of hide it from people because they don't want anyone to take their spot, thinking that if they share that information, they're giving someone the key to being better than them. And it's all about competition.
Absolutely. And also a lot of people feel like, yeah, I know I'm growing and things are crazy, but if I want it done right, I got to do it myself. So sometimes we have people around us. We even go as far as to employ people, but we're like, I'm low key doing everything myself though. And so we just wanted to tackle some of that stuff because the Bible is like an excellent handbook for what great leadership looks like. And we have examples from both the Old and New Testament. And we see both great and poor leadership exactly. throughout the Bible. So mm-hmm. we know what to do and what not to do. And we know that God equips who he calls. That goes without saying. But we also still have a responsibility in making sure that we're effective as leaders.
One thing that a leader does is they focus on their calling and not the competition.
Ooh.
Stay focused. Your path is for you, not for anyone else. So one example of someone who was focusing on the competition and not on their calling is Saul.
Bruh.
King Saul. His focus was on David once he realized that people credited David with killing more enemies than him. And when his focus changed, his energy changed. And it started going towards taking David down instead of ruling Israel effectively.
Girl, yes.
So I want to get into the scripture where we talk about that, and that's in 1 Samuel 18:8-15. Actually, Samuel is a great book, 1 and 2. You definitely want to get into it if you want to talk about some leaders, because Saul and David are mentioned in there. So it says, Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. This is when people were saying David killed more people than Saul. And he says, they have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but with me only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. The next day, an evil spirit from God came forcefully on Saul. He was prophesying in his house while David was playing the lyre, as he usually did. Saul had a spear in his hand. Saul was afraid of David. All of them look alike.
Yes.
Because the Lord was with David, but had departed from Saul. When Saul saw how successful he was afraid of him. Later in the chapter, it says that he continued to despise him for the rest of his days.
The rest of his days, yo. Like, his whole life. He just went left and, like, legit did not return. And the thing is, nothing is wrong with wanting to be the best. And being the best requires that you refine every area of your talent and your character so that you're just operating in excellence across the board. But if your focus becomes the competition, then you end up focusing just on being better than a specific person instead of just being excellent, period. I was faced with that in my time. I know I've mentioned in the past that I used to serve as a worship leader at church, and I can sing. I'm okay to say that. I'm confident in that.
Cool.
I'm not the best singer on the planet. There are going to be people who can sing better than me, and that doesn't take away from my talent. It just means I'm going to let you sing that or I don't want to sing with you. And so I came through like the orientation process with somebody who can like sing really, really like super well. And so what you don't want is for somebody to hand that person a microphone to sing a song and then hand you the microphone to sing the same song like right after they sang that song that you about to sing. And you was like, wait, why didn't I go first? Why didn't y'all tell me? And so what I had to constantly remind myself was that, wait a minute, God has placed me here. God said that this is for me. And just to be clear, we didn't look at each other as competition. I wasn't looking like, who can I take down? And it was not that at all. But
American Idol Worship Leader Edition.
Right. But it can be really easy to feel like you have to compete when you're doing something that speaks directly to a talent that you have and everybody's coming in at different levels. So I kind of just had to remind myself, like, okay, God gave me an assignment here. I'm here to do that. And again, that just took me keeping things in perspective, because the thing is, the beginning of competition is comparison. And that's where Saul started to compare himself to David. And he wasn't even comparing like anything like on his own. It was just, I heard somebody said something and what they said about David was nicer. Hold up, this is a problem. And so when you start comparing yourself to people, then it puts you in a position to feel like you need to compete to be further ahead. So you may not be in a space of feeling competitive right now, but I would just say, if it helps, consider areas where you feel like you're comparing yourself to people and maybe kind of examine that and pull back and correct that.
Another valuable area in leadership is that a leader develops the people around them by sharing knowledge, valuing their feedback, and trusting in their talents. A way for you to figure out if that is true for you is to figure out if you share information that you think would be beneficial to others, or do you tell people to figure it out for themselves when they came to you for advice or counsel?
Savage. Man, I've been in so many situations at work where people will like know something or find something and then just like not say anything, even though they know, like, hey, this is kind of neat to know information.
And I think, well, what I've realized is that some people try to help you learn it, not realizing it'd be faster to just tell me so that I can have this information and then move forward with my life, and you not trying to walk me through how you found out this information. We could just have the information.
There are some teach Amanda fish moments. And there are some, yo, just hand me that fish.
Hand me the fish. Because, hand it to me.
Yeah.
It's not in any way making me lazy for you to just give me this information that I need in order to do my job.
Right. I think another great way to evaluate if you are a good leader according to what the Bible says is examine the people around you. Like, are they becoming better too? Are you adding value to them? And a great way to examine that is by looking at the conversation. Like, what y'all be talking about? Do you guys gossip? Do you tear other people down? Do you gripe to each other all day, every day? Or do you build each other up? Do you correct each other and hold each other accountable? Or is it just, oh, this is my little squad, they know me, so if I curse or if I do this or if I admit to this sin, I get a girl, yeah, and not a ma'am, excuse me? You know, and also, do you value their input? You know, is it your genuine hope to make those people that are around you better? Or y'all just out here and you're like, oh, it's just my responsibility to tell that person what to do. They're my minion, especially in like a working situation.
Minion. Banana. Do you trust the skills of the people around you, or do you try to micromanage or control how someone does something?
Ooh. Man, y'all, all throughout the Bible, there are so many examples of God instructing people and just working through them, allowing them to either do something or even walk in the gifts that they have, trusting their talents, letting them do what they do, and then blessing the result, as opposed to just like, let me do that. Because let's be honest, God don't need nobody to do that. God needs nothing. God right. could be like, ark.
Right.
But God's out here like, the cubits.
Right.
I'm like, what's a cubit? God's like, let me hit you with these blueprints. And so, like, for example, like, in the Old Testament, like, God didn't need Moses to lead the Israelites to the promised land, but he called them and he guided them. And God constantly told Moses what to do, and then he acted through Moses' obedience. You know, when they came to the Red Sea, God could have just parted the sea, and then he could have just been getting his, you know, cloud on in the day and his fire on in the night, and Moses would have just been wherever he was, and complaining.
But wow. Instead,
I don't know. This is what they were doing. But instead, he actually gave Moses instruction. He was like, go up to the edge of the water, hold your staff up. And then he then did the work through what Moses was doing. I know this is just me adding my own interpretation to it, but what that showed me when I was reading it was that even God allows us to do some of it. And I think that that's a great example of leadership. Instead of saying, oh, I can just do all of this stuff for you in here. Because, I mean, he did that in Eden, I guess, and that didn't work out. And so...
You could have just had it, y'all. No, I'm done with Adam and Eve. I'm done with them.
Yes. And actually, Jesus did the same thing with his disciples, in that when you think about that story, when like the fishermen, they were like out there like fishing all day. They caught nothing. And it's like, well, this is not going to look good. This is like my job and stuff. Because y'all like the context I be adding to the Bible, right? Like, I got to go back in. I got to let them know. They're going to be wilding. I don't know. I don't want to deal with this. And Jesus was like, hey, cast the net on the other side. They're like, we did that already. And he was like, guys, promise you, like, do it again. And they casted their nets to the other side, and they caught so much fish that they almost tipped the boat over. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jesus could have just floated the fish to the top. Jesus could have had them fish just jump in the boat. And that shows me that, you know, because of the way that he works through people, even through their own work that they already did and enabled that work to be fruitful, I feel like in the same way, when he entrusts us with people who have certain talents, he puts us in a position of leadership where we can make that work better, but we have to do it through those people by learning how to like delegate and trust that people will do what they're capable of doing and what they say they're capable of doing.
I used to be a small group leader and small group coach, and girl, they don't know what that means. But as a coach, I had the honor to lead other small group leaders, and in that, you get a chance to either become a control freak or figure out how to mentor people who are in varying places in life, who are in different places in their walk, and how they can become leaders. And really, you had to figure out how they would be a leader and not how you would be a leader through them.
Yeah.
And I had to constantly check myself and be like, do I want to try to mold them into me and how I would lead, or mold them into the best leader they can be? And it was through that you learn how to encourage someone in their gifts and talents. If they're more administrative, if they're more teaching, if they're more actual, like, big leadership, if they are someone who leads to hospitality, if they do more outreaches and things like that, and encouraging them in that gift instead of trying to make them like me and how I did my small group when I was a small group leader. And in that, you learn to trust yourself even more. And I believe even in those stories in the about Moses and Noah. It was about their faith in taking that instruction and doing it to the best of their ability. They're showing their faith in who's leading them. And so when I got my leaders and I saw them flourish, it showed, it helped my faith, and I believe it helped their faith as well.
Yes, I love that. Because, you know, another good quality of a leader that we get in the word is that a leader empowers others to lead. And that's exactly what you spoke about. Not just saying, hey, I need you to do this my way, but I'm letting you do it your way. Mm-hmm. Because as a worship leader as well, one thing that I would do is, you know, constantly keep my eye out and assess the leadership qualities within the bunch. And then it's like, all right, let me have a conversation with you. How do you feel about leading this song? And also, on the flip side of that, sometimes even trusting people when they come to me, because I would have a singer come to me ever so often and say, hey, you know what? I see that we're singing this song. I don't know if you've assigned the singers yet, but I really want to sing that one. It's something that's really special to me, and I would really love to minister during this song. And I'd be like, okay. You know, and empower that person to lead and let them know that they're good to do whatever they need. If there's anything that they need from me, any assistance, any coaching, I'm here. But I think it's super important for a leader to empower other people to lead as well.
That is very true. I know that as a leader, when I was rising in leadership and also when I was getting ready to step down, it was all about empowering the people around me to do what I was doing so that I would be able to go when God called me to the next thing. Clean Ears was getting really big, and I knew that also I was going to move to a new campus within our church. And so I wanted to be able to, as I had served in excellence, I wanted to leave in excellence. And doing that means that I needed to be able to fill my spot so that someone would come up under me, those people who I was serving with could come around me, and we would make sure that the ministry could move on. I didn't want to be a detriment to it. And also, when I was planning to step down, God told me, it'll be fine. They don't need you here. You are a tool, but they will move on without you. And I, for some reason, we get to a place of where we're like, if this needs me to happen, I need to be here in order to for God to be here. And he was like, I'm straight.
So the way my everywhereness is set up.
Right. I need you to go be faithful where I called you to go be faithful, and be obedient where I told you to be obedient. And so if you are doing that and you're doing it in excellence, you've already got things, processes lined up. And so many people are just ready to take the next step. They want to lead, but they don't know how to be a good servant where they're at. And that means documenting what you do and making sure that the people around you and behind you can do what you do, so that when it's ready time for you to be the boss, no one knows how to do your job. That's horrible.
Man, I have seen some people have delayed promotions because they have to like put all this literature together and do all this stuff. And a lot of times people think like, well, if I don't do all that stuff and I'm the only person here who can do something, that makes me valuable to the organization and indispensable. So I'm good and my position is secure because only I can do what I do. But then I'm like, well, if you want to grow into the next thing, you're also kind of stuck. Mm-hmm. Because nobody else can do what you do, because you've not made any attempt to try to document your processes and let people know what you're doing. This is something we see in the corporate world all of the time. And sometimes, like, one of my friends at work jokes around and he was like, well, I do need to write it down, like, in case I get hit by a bus or something. I'm like, bump that. I'm not speaking no bus hitting in my life. But I will say this, if an amazing opportunity comes along that Simone needs to say yes to, I need you to go ahead and refer to the binder in my cube, because guys, that's where the notes be, and I'm out. I want my new opportunities now, and I don't want to have to go back and try to lay out breadcrumbs for folks. It's in the book. Bye.
Exactly.
Lastly, a leader is always learning, because simply having the position of leadership is just not enough. It's like you've got to continue to learn and better your skills and set goals and aspire to continue to move forward when you're in a position of leadership. You've not arrived.
And leaders are readers. Ha 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 ha. Or listeners of books. Through Audible. Yes. But really it is. Leaders are people who are always educating themselves. They're trying to better their skills. They're trying to get better. And so we read books about leadership. I know a book that I have read is Multiply by Francis Chan. It's about making disciples. As a small group leader, that's what we're trying to do. So why don't I read books about making disciples?
I like that. One book about leadership that I love that I'm studying right now is on the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. He's like, when it comes to leadership.
Right.
John Maxwell's name is up there. And I'm actually currently taking a class through a friend who is a John Maxwell certified leadership trainer.
Whoop.
I'm a go girl. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that to toot my own horn. I'm saying that, well, one, to shout her out. And two, to just to say it's really important to make sure that we're continuously sharpening our skills. Get certifications if you need to. Read the Bible. Read or listen to books. Have accountability. And put yourself in different positions to lead. A lot of times we feel like, oh, well, when the time comes and when I get a position, then I'll figure all that stuff out. Mm-hmm. But until then, your family is a great testing ground for that. And now, guys, I don't mean I'm going to start a small group with my family. I mean, like, plan an event, like plan a dinner, plan somebody's birthday party, like something small scale that puts you in a position to where you may have to delegate tasks to your family and manage an overall process. And that helps you to develop those skills and see where you're proficient and where you need work. So, Saritha, were there any things that you did? I know you mentioned reading the book when you were a small group leader. Was there anything else that you guys did while you were leading?
We had a lot of meetings.
Y'all sure did. Every time I blinked, I was like,
we had a lot of meetings, but it was necessary because especially I was in, like I said, I was ascending in leadership. And so I got pretty high up there. Okay. And when you
Jesus and Saritha,
Jesus and me is holy, holy, holy. But, when you get to that place though, you need to be able to meet with the people that I was leading, meet with my fellow leaders, meet with people who are actually on staff. Learn, make sure we're walking in that vision. You want to have people around you accountability wise to kind of speak into you and help you maintain the vision that you're going towards, especially yeah. because being a leader can go to your head very quickly. One thing that I love is people who have power groups that they meet and discuss with each other about inspiration and accountability and making sure that your goals are known to more than one person, especially if you're like a solo entrepreneur and there's no one who can check you really. Mm-hmm. Make someone check you. Get someone in your corner, a mentor, a power group, a counselor. You can have a business mentor. You can, you know, whatever
Facebook
you have to
groups, do. Facebook groups, meetup groups, something.
Yeah.
Because you want somebody to be like, hey, girl, the last time we got together, you said that you were going to do XYZ. Did you get that done?
Right. Or what bruh, happened? You said that you were trying to hire someone. Are you still working on that? Have you put that, you know, made applications go out? Are you doing interviews? What's happening there?
Absolutely. when I was in a worship leader, we did have meetings, not nearly as many as y'all though. Goodness gracious. Because I was always looking for y'all. You were up in there. But what I would do is because I was leading both the vocalist and the band, and I'm somebody who's learned everything I know about music from ear, coming from a musical family. So I was trying to train my ears to, I'd be in traffic listening to music and studying how to tell what key a song was in just by hearing it. And training myself to do that, doing vocal exercises, seeing what worked for me, what didn't, so I could bring that back to the singers as well. I would always be sharpening my skills so that I could bring it back to my team. That way, if someone had a question, then I would be able to at least tell them something or be able to show them myself. And even again, having accountability. I'm working on something now and I had to tell the girls, like, let me tell y'all about this thing, because if I don't... maybe a smooth couple months before I even hit it. So, yeah, I agree. I think that it's totally important to just continue to be learning and developing yourself as a leader.
Yes. And we've taken those things into what we do now. We have work days now. We're accountable to each other now. We have projects that we're doing for cleaners that not everyone could be part of, but we always tell each other, hey, this is what we're doing. And then when we all come together and we can make this thing great, that's how it happens.
Absolutely. So guys, at the end of the day, what we want you all to know is that great leadership is a learned skill. So mm-hmm. if you're hearing us go over things and you feel like, oh my gosh, I got a lot of work to do, it's okay. It's something that you can learn. We are all capable of being great leaders. It just takes intentionality. You've got to do the work. And once you do, then you'll be able to be in a place where you can be more effective as a leader.
Yay.
Woo!
I really hope this helped. I know it was a lot of information.
Yeah.
But it could have been more. We had all the scriptures on deck as well.
No, we're not ready for that page.
It was super deep. We might have to get into it another day as well.
All right.
we want to pray it out. We're going to seal this thing with some prayer. Mm-hmm. Eyes closed, eyes open, however you do it. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this topic. Thank you for being the ultimate leader and for giving us examples throughout the Bible on the ways that we can do this thing called life and lead others in our business ventures, in our lives, at work, in all areas of life. And we pray that you continue to grow those abilities in us so that we can be leaders that reflect you in the best way. We pray this in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Guys, we're about to play a game that we love and that you also love.
We hope.
Yes. We are going to play Heads Up, Follow the Leader, because we had this great conversation about leadership, and so we are about to do some things that pertain to leaders.
And here we go.
All right. I guess I'm going first.
You seem prepared. You ain't put the cards down.
Okay, fine. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Go.
All right. Lion's Den.
Daniel.
Yep. I think is that a G? Okay. He needed all of the proof to believe that the angel was talking to him.
Is this a Gideon?
Yes.
Okay. I was thinking about him today. It's so random.
Around the walls 7 times.
To Joshua.
Yes.
I was about to call him Jericho.
Walked on water.
Jesus.
With Jesus.
Not Jesus. How you gonna do me like that?
Come on,
Peter.
He baptized Jesus.
John the Baptist.
He got a big boat.
Noah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, guys, I'm so excellent.
Look at you.
Yay.
You know it.
Get on my
you
car.
Know it. You know
it. Well, maybe because Sarita saved and gave great clues. So y'all might have to pray for your girl. All
right.
Okay, I'm ready. Let me. Me. Okay, let's do
this. Are you singing them to me?
I don't know.
Here we go.
Oh, that chick. She was like the first
Deborah.
Judge. Yeah. He was the one who told dude he was number 8.
Oh, Samuel?
Yeah. He was the one who was laying on Jesus' chest.
John.
Yeah.
He just saw one.
Who that? He was Paul's homie. They were going everywhere. And
Barnabas?
That. Yeah. They did all that. Oh, she was ruling stuff, but nobody was eating. Everybody was fasting. Everybody.
Oh, Esther.
Yeah. Oh, he was building a wall.
Nehemiah.
Yes.
He was like, no, we're not. Yes, we know the Bible.
So either we're super saved or this was way too easy. I'm going to go with super saved.
I feel like we've just been reading our Bible lately.
But you know what? Like, for real though, guys, I have been.
Actually, me too.
Yes.
I just got through Job like a G. It was hard. You know how many chapters are in Job?
31.
And actually, there are more.
Was it 33?
It's in the 40s, darling.
What?
Yes.
Maybe I'll stop reading. Maybe I'll stop reading after 31. I'm like, you know what, Job?
It was a lot.
Girl. That is crazy. What am I doing? Oh, yeah, I'm still trying to memorize James, but don't ask me how far I've gotten, girl.
Look, memorization, I'm not there yet. I'm just trying
this
to get through the Bible.
Hey, don't come for my process. We coming.
All right.
All right, guys, now it's time for our favorite part of the show, What's in Your Headphones, where we tell you what we are listening to and why we are loving it so that you can go and listen to it too.
Yes.
Saritha Collins.
Me first.
What is in your headphones?
Okay, I'll tell you. Lecrae was being true to his word when he said there is new music coming. And the next single is I'll Find You, which is by Lecrae, featuring Tori Kelly.
Through the world trying to play with my soul. I'm just trying to find where to go. I'm trying to remember the way. I'm trying to get back to my home. But I can't do this on my own. That's why I'm just trusting in you. Cause I don't know where else to go. And I don't know what else to do.
Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. Just fight a little.
Now, if you know me, you know that I love me some Tori Kelly. And I feel like she was just so perfect on this song. This song is so good and sweet, but still has Lecrae rapping as his usual self and not Blessings version. You know?
What? Oh my gosh.
I just appreciate him coming back to the cadence that I'm used to having for him having. But either way, it is just a great song, you guys. It's really about how sometimes you're going through things. It's maybe going through hard times. And there's going to be someone there to catch you. Now, you can take it in the maybe literal sense of a person being there for you. Or you can just be like, the Heavenly Father got you. He's like, wherever you go, he will find you. And he'll swoop you up and just take care of you. This song is great, guys. And I feel like it is... This song and Blessings are just a great idea of what's going to be happening in this new season, that he's definitely going to be having radio hits this time around. And so I'm just excited about this new level for Christian music.
Yes, very much so. Since Aretha beat me to the punch and took my song.
The minute it dropped, I went to the outline and was like, this is mine. So thank you.
Roots. But it gave me the opportunity to listen to some other things. And so what is in my headphones is The Price Is Always Right by Aha Gazelle.
Ever since my price went up, ain't no more judging me. Ever since my price went up, everybody wanna love on me. Ever since my price went up, now I gotta watch who I be around. Ever since my price went up, people wanna come and take my crown. Ever since my price went up, ironically they wanna tear me down. Ever since my price went up, everybody hit the gas on me. People switch so fast on me. Think they sneaky, better be careful, hard to tiptoe with a tag on it. I don't even
know. I felt like he sounded like a mix of like Fetty Wap and 2 Chainz. So I literally, after I had heard this song, I was calling him like Fetty Chains. That's like what I'm doing now.
Okay.
Because two WAP sound too much like Goo WAP. And I got to pay my respects as an Atlanta, you know, president. And so, I just really enjoyed it. Like, this album is super fun. I like that his music is super like light in its sound. But he's really got like some like one-liners and stuff. Like, he really... He'll say something, I'll be like, wait, what? Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that. I love just the wordplay when he was singing, just the way it comes in. It's just like, yes. It goes very hard in the gym because I personally just beat my own personal best today to this album. And so I felt like I needed to shout it out. Aha Gazelle, The Price Is Always Right. Currently available on Trillium or Trillium, depending on where you are and how you feel.
Yes, if you want to be fancy, Trillium if you're fancy.
Trillium is definitely like the pinky up version. Trillium is a fist.
For a while. To love was all we could do.
It's that time, y'all.
Yeah, man.
It's the end.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how we do. We got to shout out some people.
Yes.
And some things that we're doing at the end of the show.
Yes. First, shout out to Courtney P., who has done all sorts of things today, including draw some suspect pictures.
Right.
But, you know, and yes, no cookies for those of you who are curious.
Right,
no,
if you're keeping today. Count.
Also, we would like to shout out our band, Abiding in the Collective.
The touring group.
Yes. Who is not a band. But Abiding is the editor-in-chief of our blog. He keeps the collective just motivated and putting out the fire that they put out. So guys, you definitely want to be keeping up with that.
Yes. I want to shout out to you, Simone.
Because
you made this episode happen because your girl was just not in it.
Oh my goodness.
She was unfocused, but... Simone brought us through.
Hey, listen.
You see those footsteps where there was only one? That's where I carried you.
You stop it right now. You stop it right
now. Girl, you carrying the team today. You got
you
us.
Stop it right now.
You better be like Jesus. You better be.
Girl. It was a struggle, but we made it.
But we made it. And we definitely want to have you guys be part of everything that we're doing.
Yes.
As our earbuds, we want to make sure that you connect with us on every level. So you want to hit us up on our social media. You want to subscribe to us on YouTube. We are Clean Ears Podcast on YouTube. You definitely want to be subscribed there. We have a lot of stuff happening. And we're trying to up that platform, but we want to make sure we're doing it in a way that you guys appreciate. So we'd love to have ideas, encouragement, more subscribers, if you know that's something that you like, all that good stuff. And don't forget about the website, www.cleanershow.com. Moan, tell them what they can find at the website.
Everything. You can find our past podcasts. You can find our Spotify playlist. You can find links to all of our medias, so you don't have to remember what's what. You can just go there for a one-stop shop. You can also find our prayer corner. So if you need prayer or encouragement for something, you can go and find pre-recorded prayers on a variety of subjects to suit your needs. And you can find our profiles, more information about us, and our contact page, because guys, you know, we love hearing from you. But I know that some of you guys are not on social media. Some of you guys are, you know, about that fasting life.
Courtney.
Totally here for it. And we want to still be able to connect with you. So please hit up the contact page on our website. Reach out to us. Tell us what you're loving about the show. Tell us, you know, whatever kind of content you want to hear from us, because we really want to be a resource. We know that it's hard out here, and we want to make sure that you've got some goodies always coming in from Clean Ears, but things that can actually bless you and help you with what you are going through. So you definitely want to be on the site, keeping up with what's going on with us there.
Mm-hmm.
And until next time,
have a good time.
Bye.